Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Automotive Axles Q4 FY23 conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Seema. Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone who have logged into Automotive Axles Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we have the senior management team. We'll be hearing from Mr. Muthukumar N, President and the COO, Meritor HVS India Limited, Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole-Time Director, Automotive Axles, and Mr. Ranganathan, CFO, Automotive Axles. I would now like to turn the call to Mr. Muthukumar for the opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Muthukumar, sir, you may begin now.
Thank you, Shailesh, for taking time. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for keeping keen interest in our organization and joining for this call. We really appreciate and value your time and your support for our organization. The presentation consisting about nine slides have already been shared with you. I'm just going to again give you opening remarks, followed by Ranga and Nagaraja will talk to you in detail. For those of you who are joining for the first time, you all know that this is a joint venture that is established between Mr. Kalyani's flagship company and also Meritor globally. Currently, it is acquired by Cummins globally. This is a very, very long-standing, successful joint venture in India, which is about 42 years old, and we are the leading suppliers of drivetrains, braking, and suspension systems, and aftermarket in the commercial vehicle space. Of course, we are also establishing our presence in the industrial market. Just want to update you, as on 31st March 2023, the AAL has moved up in the ladder, and we became the 566th company of the top 1,000 companies with market capitalization of about 3.57 lakhs. We have four manufacturing sites with more than 2,000+ employees, and as an independent axle manufacturing, we are number one, and we are holding the number two position, but continue to increasing our businesses with various things. We have a diverse end markets. We are present in commercial vehicle. When I said we are present in truck, trailer, buses, off-highway, extend military and aftermarket. Name most of the OEMs in India on the commercial vehicle space. We are present with Ashok Leyland, Tata, Mahindra, Daimler, Volvo, Eicher, and of course, Bharat Forge supplies for their defense. In terms of global, we supply to UD Trucks to Thailand. We are supplying to Caterpillar. We supply to VFJ factory for the defense products. A little business with Bimmel, Godrej, and companies like Cargotec. We continue to expand our business with various customers by introducing innovative products. But before we talk it, I leave it to Ranga, CFO, to talk about the quarterly and the full year performance to you all, and then I'll come back on the new product. Ranga, over to you.
Thank you, Muthu. Thanks for giving an introduction. Just want to give you an update on the financial performance to all of you. As Muthu said, all of you are watching us very closely. So, we really see the last quarter performance is about 694 crore in terms of sales, as compared to the previous year, about 552 crore, is a growth of about 26% on a quarterly basis. EBITDA, we are at 11.4%, and in terms of absolute values, you know, at 790 crore. And of course, there are about four commodities we have accounted, three commodities we accounted this quarter. So, and the PBIT is about 9.8% as compared to 9.3% last year, the same quarter. If you look at the really for 12 months performance, the total year, the overall revenue, we reached the milestone of 2,328 crore. It closed about 56% growth. Last year, we are close over 1,500 crores level. And EBITDA, we are at 11.3, which is 9.3 last year, the whole year. So in terms of the absolute money, I think we have shown a growth of 89%. And PBIT, we are at 9.4% this year, which is 6.7% last year. And it's about growth of about 118%. And so that's the overall summary of it. And for the full year and the quarter performance. If there are any specific questions, we'll take it up in your question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ranga, for giving a summary of quarterly and full year performance. I'm sure that there'll be a lot of questions. But ladies and gentlemen, may I request now Nagaraj to talk about the new product launches, which is very, very key in the business, and what we are working on, what type of product penetration we are going to do, and how we are improving the reliability in the market. Nagaraj is going to talk about that and also the initiative that we have taken on circular economy for creating a sustainable society. Over to you, Nagaraj.
Thank you, Muthu. Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, thank you for calling into this conference. As Muthu mentioned, one of the key strengths of Meritor and Automotive Axles is new products or the products. We cater to the market for any commercial vehicle, 7.5 tons and above. And as you can see, last year we have launched seven products. Out of seven products, if you look at MS185 and 160 EVO, these are all new products to the market. Both of them are developed and customized for India-specific applications, and we also hold the patent in these two products. These products are, the way this has been designed is to ensure that total cost of ownership for the customer has come down. So, for example, MS185, it replaces a tandem axle, but still does meet the durability requirement and application requirement of the customers for a 55-ton tractors or even for the 10x2 loader tipper. So the 5918 TGBGS is one of the kind that has been introduced in India. This has a 16 mm housing designed for a heavy-duty application for a tipper application, especially in the mining. And again, this has been launched and then ramped up in a record period. 395 brake is not new to India, but the team has been able to develop a very specific application for one of the customer. And as Muthu was mentioning, we are not only at present we are a number one independent axle manufacturer, but our goal is to become a number one brake manufacturer also and supplier also. And the Dia 360 and Dia 394 brakes launch with our customer is going to take us there. Next slide. So again, how do we get there? One is bringing in the performance, bringing in the financial performance, operational performance. But at the end of the day, can we do it in a very responsible manner? And ESG exactly helps us in going to design our way, design our product, design our operation and process so that we also work towards environmental sustenance. So the Destination Zero is one critical goal that our company and organization is committed to. We did touch upon this during our earlier investor calls also. I'm just going to give you a little bit of update on what we have done. So we are on our way to achieve the 80% of power consumption through renewable energy. We have already initiated some of our furnace. If I have to give an example, our furnace, which is basically we're using LPG, we have already moved into LNG, which is slightly better. And also some of the preheating and other things, we have already switched over to electrical. Our goal is over a period of time, we can eliminate the LPG use, except for some critical areas. Similarly, reducing packaging, we did talk about, Muthu was talking about all the exports, what we are doing. We have already with one of the key export customer, We have already switched over to a fully returnable containers or you know, metal containers, eliminating the wood. We continue to do that. As on date, 90% of our supplies will happen either with the returnable containers or we don't use wood. And we are on our way by 2028 to eliminate you know, 100% of wood for packaging. So, and we continue to you know, engage in social issues, working with the technical institutions, working with the you know, other institutions where we can help the specially abled and you know, and some of the class society classes where they will be requiring support from organizations like us. And diversity and inclusion initiative is another area. Probably you know, Muthu did touch last time. We are not just looking at the you know, improving our gender diversity, but we are also looking at how we can bring in all classes of society and you know, both at our organization, also at with our supply chain partners. Employee safety is, we have made a big a improvement in this area. We continue to invest in processes which will take care of employee health and safety. So with that, I will hand it back to Muthu.
Thank you, Nagaraj. You touched upon all the points. Ladies and gentlemen, as we indicated, we continue to focus on circular economy in our aspiration to become destination zero. The point that what Nagaraj touched upon, 80% of power consumption through renewable is only start. Many more activities are happening and the team is doing an excellent job. We have a Mission 25 growth strategy that we have presented to you. And Ranga was talking, I think he's going to talk about this slide from the key initiatives. But I just want to tell you everyone, last year when the market is still lower when compared to the 2018-19, your company is able to penetrate more because of the various initiatives we have taken. Like what Nagaraj said, there is a new product, creating a modular design, increasing the new product with more reliable, which is also putting it, the customers are demanding a lot more when compared to what was it was previous. There are companies which are going up to 6 years and 6 lakh kilometers on warranty, and we are also continuously working to upgrade our product both technologically and at the same time innovatively to make sure that we contain our cost but at the same time providing the value to the customer. I would request Ranga to touch upon the Mission 25 growth strategy, where we are and what are our focus for the company in ensuring that we have managed the business successfully and taking it forward. Over to you, Ranga.
Thank you, Muthu. Once again, you know, good afternoon to all. As a part of Mission strategy, you know, all of you must be knowing that we are really committed to grow our top line as well as the bottom line through our employee engagement and new product development. So as Nagaraj was telling that, you know, the method and process, what we wanted to do is more holistic, taking into the green initiatives part of the group strategy. And when it comes to the performance, I just wanted to bring you all your attention. And now the MHCV production for 2023, roughly around 407,000 vehicles, but still, as Muthu mentioned, is lower than the 2018-19 level. But you really see our revenue for this year is one of the highest in automotive axles history. Is about 2,300 crores plus, higher than the peak of 2018-19. And though the market is not geared up to the value. So also in terms of EPS, I think history of the automotive axle is the highest EPS we ever declared in this for the whole financial year. So that definitely is happening only through our keen focus on Mission 25 initiatives. As the Mission 25 initiative is a lot of gambit, as Muthu said, the market definitely need a new product. We are working with the customer's new product with the new product requirements and the warranty expectations, as well as ensuring the value benefit at both the sites. Our focus continues to be, you know, grow along with the market and try to ensure that we grow slightly above the market growth is always our ambition. We have been trying to demonstrate that and we'll continue to focus on it. So market expected to grow this year about 5 to 8%. That's a little bit of conservative from our side, but it's got a high potential, but we wanted to peg it at this point of time at 5 to 8% at the beginning of the financial year. That's what the MHCV is concerned. I said that the operational excellence is a key for the growth, and our focus continues to be on Industry 4.0. And other than paperless office through digitization is our key focus for 2023-24 and for the years too. And our focus continues to be on improving the conversion cost and material cost performance through various methods that, again, we have a specific team is working on it as part of the Mission 25 to improve the performance of material and the conversion cost year on year. And one of the key point, which is probably dynamic, which we have to manage around, we have been managing it reasonably well, is the commodity fluctuations and movements. Sometimes it's absent, sometimes it is hard impacted to take it. But we have to see really our initiatives to see that this commodity fluctuations are managed well. This more 2023-24, the commodity price softened. But we have to wait and watch. But looking up, still prices are going to go up in 2024-25. But probably we might work on the performance of the company, that the commodity price fluctuation is not really impacting us. So that definitely be a challenge, but definitely will be a focus area from our side too. That's the point from. And the last slide, Muthu, you want to take it?
Suggest that you complete the our key actions to manage business successfully, then I'll come back. Please do that.
Yeah, I've finished the business growth strategy. We have already signed up the long-term agreement
with customers.
And you'll take it up, Madhu.
Thanks, Ranga. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to reassure to most of you that while the company continues to do the growth strategy, what you're doing, continue to expand our margins by doing the cost measures and also value engineering, but also bringing in more focus on safety and diversity, inclusivity in their team. Please rest assured that your company will do everything to make sure that we continue to excel in what we are doing and increase the values to our shareholders. Also, I wanted to give an update to you all, ladies and gentlemen, the Cummins integration into our acquisition of Meritor has been approved, and in India also the CCA approvals have come, and we are now the Meritor acquisition, sorry, Cummins acquisition of Meritor is complete now across all the regions. With that, over to you, Shailesh, for opening up the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Pratik Kothari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you and good afternoon. First of all, congratulations, sir, to the team for such a wonderful performance. So my first question is, a couple of years back, we had embarked on this journey to enter new segments, LCV, 4 tonners and above on the MHCV side, e-mobility, sleeper suspensions. So if you can just talk about where we are in that journey, how is the feedback, how is the adoption in the market?
Thank you, Mr. Pradeep Kothari, for starting this question. As indicated in our past meeting, we have an aspiration to go into off-highway in the defense and also ICV segment. We have already penetrated in ICV segments in about 6-10 vehicles. You all know that we have been supplying to Ashok Leyland in terms of Mithra and also to Mahindra in a few segments. We have a product called 11X, which we are using for those, and 10X and 11X for those. But we are out continuously evaluating our strategies. And you know, the market, the way in which the electrification or new fuel is going to come, the adoption is going to come much faster in the LCV segments, bus segments, and then followed by the commercial vehicle. So With that is in keeping in mind, while we continue to work on the platform, going sub 6 tons at this point of time, we are evaluating the credentials of investment at this point of time and holding it back. So that is just we wanted to let you know.
So what would quantitatively, what would be the contribution from this new segments currently?
Quantitatively means, sorry?
I mean, numbers wise, what kind of numbers are we doing?
Don't share the segment, but whatever the segment we are supplying to them, we are 100% to them now. Those vehicles where the product we are segmented for Ashok Leyland and Mahindra, we're supplying 100% to them. But I don't see, because there are a lot of other customers available. The overall market is different. And we also don't share our specific, but whichever the segment we developed the product, not only for India market, even it is going out to export for those vehicles where our customer uses, we continue to be 100%.
And sub 6 tonner is where you said you are reevaluating given the changes happening in the industry.
Well, 6 tonner is already running it. Nagaraj, you want to add on?
Sub 6 tonner, I mean the LCV
pump. Sub 6 tonner, we are thinking over it. But Nagaraj can give you an update on our 10X and 11X, how we have penetrated into the market or on what level of quality improvement we have done. Nagaraj, you want to touch upon 10X and 11X?
Yeah. No, the 10X and 11X, you know, initially we developed these products mainly for the truck application. But based on the customer request, we have already applied it to the, you know, mini bus application also. And some of our customers are also kind of using it in Asia Pacific or, you know, Middle East, you know, application also. So we are seeing, you know, growth coming in there. Like what Muthu mentioned that, you know, every segment, wherever we apply our product, we just want to make sure that, you know, that meets all the customer requirements, you know, end customer requirements. So we have developed what we call is a quiet ride or a bus noise sensitive gearing for that. So it is doing pretty well at this point of time.
Thank you, Nagaraj.
Sure. And so my second question on margins. So given the cyclical peak that we saw in FY19, for the next 2-3 years, we did a lot of work, brought down our break-even cost and a lot of measures that we have taken on our operating side. And our expectation was if we go back to those numbers there and we are significantly higher from there, our margins should substantially shoot up, maybe mid-teens was what we had thought of. So just one, why won't we see that? And if we are making those, are we reinvesting it somewhere?
Thank you for the question. I know this is there lingering in your mind. See, please look at this. I know that in terms of percentage you are comparing, but look at the amount of commodity, and we in this business, we get compensated only for the material cost of it and nothing else from the OEMs. And it is a very, very tough market when the migration to BS6 is happening. The amount of improvement that has been done by the operating team led by Nagaraj or in terms of the strategy team with Ranga has really helped us in at least sustaining the percentages or improving from it. But if you can see the growth in the absolute margin, what it was there in 2018 and now, an amazing growth which has happened. And you can see in the 12-month performance of FY23 how the team has done it. All the initiatives that we have taken, whether it is to control the material cost, whether it is control to conversion cost, or whether it's in terms of the people cost, while we are very, very sensitive in terms of making people to grow, at the same time, cost per component or cost per axle continues to come down. These are the initiatives that is taken, and we continue to do those initiatives to make sure that it is done. But in terms of profitability growth, I understand your concern, but there is a huge material commodity increases between 2018, 19 and now. And ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to let you all know that even though the market has not come back to the FY18-19 level, you can see the amount of penetration what we have made, which is purely because of the various initiatives that we have taken. Our top line has grown significantly when compared to the previous peak of the market, but still market is about 15% lower than that level. Ranga, you want to add anything, Ranga?
No, you're exactly said, Madhu. You know, I just wanted to all of you to understand that, you know, market was compared to 18-19 was 15% lower, you know. And if we really see our growth is 20% higher than what really done in the 2019. One of the critical factor, influencing factor in all aspects is about the commodities. and also the real lot of other penetrations we had with the customers, what Muthu was explaining. So if you really look at the profitability also, no, it's really seen. We have substantially grown as compared to the profitability, you know, year on year, 120% growth and all that is purely, it comes through our penetration to the top line and the growth in the top line, as well as the various cost initiatives, you know, we have taken it. Otherwise, this commodity, it would have been adopted a very normal approach to the entire thing. Then probably we wouldn't have managed the commodity very well. You know, we are generally look at ahead of the commodity changes impact to the business, and we drive our you know, cost you know, improvement strategies you know, in such a way that we try to compensate and bring it more than the impact which is coming to the P&L. That generally be there. But as an outside, rather than looking at it on a quarterly basis, I appreciate if you look at it on a yearly basis. And because quarter on quarter, there are various fluctuations being there, though we are trying to perform it you know, alongside the growth. But overall, if you look at the year, I think we have performed really well in terms of 120% growth and the PBIT level. So it's a very significant. It means our fixed costs in control and variable costs are still contributing as the EBITDA percentage, EBITDA's absolute value is also going up. In terms of you know, percentage, sometimes it gives you a misnomer picture, as Muthu was indicating. As a commodity, when you are taking into the system, it may create a kind of an abyss impact. But in terms of absolute values, we have substantially grown. The absolute value money is intact with the organization. That's the only submission I have it for you.
Thanks, Ranga. But still giving a comfort to you or to put this, post-COVID, what happened is, I think our biggest challenge was our supply chain. And to make sure that those people are intact and we continue to deliver. Most of the focus, I think I wanted to appreciate Ranga and Nagaraj and their team. What did it is, when the market again come back last year, I think we could able to penetrate market because our response time to the customers was much better than our competition, and that is why we could able to go more. While we could have taken a decision for holding only us, but we have taken that the entire supply chain, the value system which is created is all taken care of during this period and done it. You also know that the Ukraine war that has happened, there are a lot of cost increases in terms of the conversion, whether it's the petroleum cost that has happened or in terms of the tools, carbide, which are getting imported. But the team did a tremendous job in terms of, I think there is an average about more than 25 to 30% increases in the conversion that has happened. But the team has mitigated it very well in terms of approaching the half-cost approach or in terms of converting it to a sustainability model. It was an eye-opener for us to understand when Nagaraj and team did wonderfully well in terms of sustainability initiatives. It's also supporting you in terms of bringing your profitability. So I understand your concern, but your organization, irrespective of the market continues to be, we're all predicting about flat or 5% more for next year, just because it's an election year before that. But ladies and gentlemen, we are believing that India is going to be the center of stage and center of excellence, and more business is going to come to India. The component business in India is going to go very, very high. And we are also working out to see our strategies on how we need to grow in the markets and what is the opportunity that is going to come from other countries to India during this time, how we need to capitalize. Thank you very much.
Just for our understanding, sir, we should look at our volume numbers of MHCV or tonnage numbers, and how are we more linked to, or what are we more linked to?
See, there are two things that happened. When compared to, I can roughly give you, I think the OEMs are very, very authoritative and they are the subject matter expert of this. But I strongly believe that when compared to 2018-19 tonnage, we have crossed. But please believe me, our content per vehicle also, we have increased it by going in for a new product, which is bigger than what it was. So we are selling the same number of axles, but our realizations have gone up substantially. I think that's what Nagaraj was talking to in the products that what we have introduced, like 185, 160 EVO. That 185 is the largest axle that is being produced in India. So the same axle what we were supplying earlier for a 49-ton vehicle, now with a 59-ton vehicle, we have increased the size of the axle to, so it will be only one axle from us. So we continue to work, but you are right, in terms of tonnage, we have already, India has crossed the 2018-19 number of vehicles into tonnage what is produced. That is happening because of two things. One is the axle load routing changes that has happened. And of course, when the OEMs introduced in 2020, the BS6 model, most of the upgradation has happened. And you know the shift that is happening in India towards tractor trailer and towards more of tipper, the high tonnage vehicles are being produced. And we are upgrading our models like 185, 18 TG axles. 18 TG axles and all are used in the same truck as a tandem axle, but the axle content is much, much higher.
So the reason I ask this is because if India has crossed the tonnage, if we compare our numbers, our revenues are up 20% from the last peak which we saw in FY19. And almost all of it or more of it can be explained by the raw material price increases.
No. It is not because of, all is not because of raw material increase. There is a content increase in the axles what we supply to them. The per axle realization has considerably gone up on top of this. While I am not in a position to give you what is the exact split up of commodity increases is not 20% over a period of time.
Over 4 years, wouldn't it be that much?
No, it is not 20%.
Okay.
Because the market in 2018, it went down in 2020. Just wanted to let you all know, in 2020, the market went down on commodities, again picked up from 21-22. So if you see the net, you are comparing again 2018, which Ranga spoke. That's why I'm saying that when compared to 2020, the commodity has gone up substantially. But when compared to 2018-19, it's not the same level, slightly up when compared to that.
No, fair enough. Great. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Deepak Jain from Enam AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir.
Yes, Mr. Deepak, go ahead.
Yeah. So on these new products, which of these products, let's say 185 you talked about, or maybe the brakes, which are addressing the large, addressable market, and any customer approval has come for these new products?
Thank you, sir. For example, the 185, we already have about more than 3,000 axles. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nagaraj. 3,000 vehicles are already in the market and the volume is growing.
Okay.
It's already customer has purchased and the product is in application. We are looking at more customers to expand this market. See, that's subjective, right? For products like 185, 18 TG, when we are going to expand this market, the reliability of product is going to go up. Our content per vehicle is going to go up. And at the same time, our realization per axle is going to go up.
Okay. And on the brakes which you have introduced?
The brakes is basically 394 or 360. Is all 360 is to penetrate into the ICV vehicles. Earlier we didn't have the product. The 394 products and 325 is again an ICV, the smaller vehicles. The 394 brakes is again a value engineered product to the customer, and that is what has helped us to gain a huge share in the market. We have grown substantially in brakes while we are not in a position to give you the split of axles and brakes, but you can see the growth, what has happened in the market in commercial vehicle and how we have grown. We have grown in every segment, on-highway axles, off-highway axles, brakes, exports, every area.
Okay. The next is on...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Jain. Your voice is very low, sir. Could you just come a little closer to the phone and speak?
From my side...
So your side is fine. Mr. Jain?
Is it okay? Hello?
Yes,
Deepak,
we can. Yeah, sir, on the broader question, with Cummins coming into the picture, is there any new products for global sourcing or any strategy change which you would like to share due to that?
So with Cummins coming in, we are looking at synergies both within local India because of their presence and very strong relationship with Tata. Our relationship with Ashok Leyland, both of us are trying to complement each other and try to see how we can grow in the local market. At the same time, it's not only because of Cummins coming in is going to accelerate, but look at what is happening globally. India is becoming a preferred location for manufacturing in the days to come. We strongly believe by 2032, when India is going to reach towards 10 trillion economy, not 32 or 33, when it is going to happen, more and more manufacturing sources to come. And I'm sure that Cummins Meritor globally will look at India as a best cost country sourcing. So it is more and more is going to come from to India, and we need to, we also need to upgrade our plant. For all of you know, not all the products we produce in India, these are all India specific applicated products. There are certain global products also, but we'll continue to work on to see that how we can synergize this Cummins integration and try to make the company from good to great.
Okay. So now in terms of revenue growth, I was looking at last few quarters, it has been very strong and more than the underlying industry growth. So one part is due to the inflation and the other is the volume part. So now when you are guiding for, you know, going forward FY24, you have guided for 5 to 8% growth. So you would intend to grow, you know, much higher than the industry, or it will be more reverting to the mean volume growth?
Our strategy is multifold, okay? I'm just not taking quarterly. I know that we have touched upon the point every quarter we are growing. Look at between FY22 to FY23, we have grown 50%, whereas the market has not grown by 50%. The market has grown only by about 24-25%. Our strategy for the growth, the increase in revenue, even though I'm not able to quantify, I can give a rough number, maybe about something due to commodity. It's a very early double digit, I would say. There is an increase in the penetration of the share of business. There is an increase in content of the vehicle. Also, there is an increase in our share in other segments like what we are doing in export, what we are doing in off-highway, in those segments which we have introduced. All these things put together, it's growing. We have, our aspirations is always, I know it is very, very tough, but we wanted to definitely outgrow the market growth. Market growth is one, but our growth will never be not with the market growth. We wanted to be, our aspirations are high, but we want to be definite. I cannot say the number, but we wanted to be more than the market growth. You can see by yourself last year, our growth is much, much better than the market.
Okay. So one last question. The regulatory changes which has we have witnessed in the recent past, let's say BS6, what was the content increase due to that?
Okay.
No, not much.
In terms of, thanks Deepak for asking this question. In terms of the market, what is OBD2, that online diagnostic that has gone,
okay,
the OEMs adapted different strategy. There were some OEMs which has taken that increase in the cost only now. There were many OEMs which I don't want to mention. I think you should take it up in their call. Some OEMs have done it even from the BS6 stage 1. So in terms of the product, we have tuned our product to those customers who have done it now. But in terms of the content of our axles or something, it's only an a change in the little processes and our change in our application of the product, and not much change in the content of the vehicle from our side. This cost increase of onboard diagnostics or emission system management is mainly toward their emission system and only few support from the axle changes.
Okay. So basically, whatever major growth, as I understand, is from the market penetration and new products only, which has come.
Market penetration comes because of new products and also our growth in the business.
Okay.
Of course, on top of this, the content per axle, because like a bigger axle, when you introduce, the content goes up per axle.
Okay, understood. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sagar Parekh from One Up Financial Consultant. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Two questions from my side. So if I heard you correctly on the Cummins integration, I believe you mentioned that the synergies will come from one on the relationship with Tata that we can possibly explore, and the second could be the export opportunity for Cummins, for global market from India. Is that the two big synergies that we can tap from the Cummins coming into the picture?
Cummins is a great company, and Meritor is definitely fortunate to have this association. I just said as an example of, it's not only with Tata. Cummins has a very, very strong presence with some OEMs in India, and if Meritor is not present there, I said automotive axle is not present, I said we can have a synergy for the local customers. It's not only Tata, there are many customers where when we were not there, how we can synergize is what I said. Of course, for exports, I said, Meritor is continuously working from sourcing more from India in terms of exporting to the other. We are not directly competing with any other region. We are supplying subsystems to the other countries because the customers are being serviced by Meritor. But what I said is, Cummins will accelerate or catalyze this transition much faster because the global is looking at India for the center of excellence and having more export to it. Because of the trust, reliability, you can call anything with the current geopolitical situation, what's happening. So that is why I said Cummins. It's not only on the growth that we are looking at from Cummins. There are a lot of good systems and processes, whether in terms of safety, in terms of diversity, in terms of sourcing, supply chain, in terms of the manufacturing practices. The organization is going to get a window of opportunity to go and expand and synergize in all the areas is going to happen.
Right, right. No, my question was actually that this Meritor would be having a lot of global manufacturing capacities. So Cummins, actually the Cummins Inc., they have, I think, India and China are the two major sourcing hubs for global market because they do not have capacities across the world. But Meritor would be having capacities globally. So in spite of that, we can still tap, like they can look at India as an export hub, is what you're saying?
I don't think, from the manufacturing perspective, Cummins manufacturing plants cannot produce axles, and axle producers cannot do this. I don't think nobody will stop the manufacturing at the US and buy it from India. It's not going to be economical because there is a huge pressure in every country, particularly US, on the local content also. You all know about it, and I don't want to get into that. So exporting of subsystems is going to happen. Cummins presence will only catalyze, but it will be more depending on the lead time of supply to the customers. And you know the US market is continuing to be strong at this point of time, and we have a good order book that's available. But there was also a lot of talks about the global recession that's going to happen. But at this point in time, we see a very strong U.S. market, whereas in Europe, we see a flat. So it all depends on the situation. But definitely Cummins appearing and bringing in more and more to India is also one because of Cummins. It is going to catalyze at the same time the geopolitical situation of coming more to India. And of course, what Nagaraj and team are doing in terms of improving the reliability of the product, delivery accuracy, the quality and the precision supplies what we do.
Right. And Cummins, actually, I believe in the last call you had mentioned that Cummins is very strong in the off-highway segment where they supply the engines to the mining sector. That could be one potential area that we can look at in terms of synergies, right?
Where we are working very, very close with them to go to those customers and see. See, off-highway is a different cup of tea where there are certain suppliers who merge engine, transmission, drive lines, everything together as a kit to the system. So we are also evaluating that and we are using Cummins expertise to see that how we can accelerate and how we can penetrate into those segments. It's definitely going to happen. Of course, military too.
Sure. My last question would be on the margin. So I understand that, last 2-3 years there have been massive commodity inflation due to which percentage margins is not looking as per our expectations. But going forward, as the commodities deflate, then the cost reduction initiatives that we have taken over the last 2-3 years that we have been talking about, will that be reflective in the margins, percentage margins, and can we expect 13-15% kind of range going forward as the commodity, assuming that commodities will deflate?
Okay. Assume commodities is going to deflate, let me tell you. From April, there is already a commodity increase that's going to happen. I don't want to speculate on whether the commodity is going to go up or come down. The impact of base impact, what Ranga said, it has to be evaluated for this, for the level of what you are seeing about going up by 3-4 points in a couple of years. I don't think base impact of commodity is going to inflate us to 13.5 or 15% what you said, and I don't want to comment on that. But one thing that I can rest assured is, it is just because of commodity movement going up and come down, Cummins Meritor performance will not be reflected on that. It will be one of the factors. We continue to put on our product innovation, we continue to launch new products, we continue to work on cost reduction activities, and we also go to the customers, we find out that what is the total cost of ownership, and thereby expanding. All these initiatives will continue to be there, and we'll be marching towards those targets, what you have indicated. Our aspiration is there to reach. But within 1 or 2 years, we are going to reach. If it is an arithmetic number in 1 or 2 years, it's different. But it all has to come back with the substantial actions and substantial delivery points within the entire value chain system.
Got it. And basically, we have this arrangement with Meritor HVS. Is that going to remain as it is with the Cummins coming into the picture, or
absolutely Cummins and both? I think last time we introduced the slide, the Cummins CEO Jennifer Ramsey or Mr. Kalyani, the chairman of the Automotive Axle, both have been very, very upbeat about the positive relationship what we are going to have. The relationship is going strong, and it will continue to be there. The current system what we have.
Okay, so just on slide number 8, there is the first point, the successful implementation of LTA agreement. What does that exactly mean?
At this point of time, we have a very, very successful long-term agreement with various customers, like our largest OEM customers. I can tell you that more than 70% of the business by numbers or value, we have in our LTA agreement running up for at most next 2 years, which is going to really help us to focus on what more we can do. And we have started, our team is already working on how beyond 2025, how do we need to expand, how do we need to grow, and what type of initiatives need to be done. So that is first thing. So at this point in time, we have a very clear long-term agreement signed with the customers.
It's largely renewal of contract for next 2 years.
It's not only renewal of contract, but also the new contract that we got in.
Okay, sure. Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sagar.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 3 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nitesh Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is also again a follow-up on the new product introduction. One of the reasons we were looking to launch these more improved products is to offer a better value proposition to some of the OEMs who are not our customers currently, right? So any breakthrough there, anything, any major development there, they have liked our product, they have taken for sampling, can we gain more business out of them? Because while you are doing your work in terms of greater penetration, moving towards higher tonnage vehicles and all, a major part of the growth can come if the largest MHCV OEM can start sourcing more and more from us. So any progress on that front?
We continue to work on this. It's a little, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it's a little challenging is because most of them have invested on the axle manufacturing inside their facilities. And most of the largest OEMs are doing the axle by themselves. So our innovation, what it is going to happen, if it is going to substantially improve that, those OEMs will come to us. We continue to work on them. It is not that our products are not sold to the companies which are making axles. There are certain companies which are making axles by their own design. Still, they are buying the premium products and unique products for us. If it goes to exports, everybody buys it from us, whether it could be Daimler or whether it could be Volvo, Eicher or Tata. But how do we penetrate into all the segments is what we continue to work. I think thanks for the question, and we look at all your wishes onto us to penetrate and get more business into this segment.
So just to probe a little bit more on this, when you say that your Excel MS-185 or 18G offers a better performance, what exactly are we talking about in terms of parameters where these Excels will be better compared to the previous Excels or maybe some of the Excels which are being manufactured in-house by the OEMs?
This is some of the new launches which was not available earlier, 50-foot and tractor trailer and all. But I would leave this question to Mr. Nagaraj to explain because he's an architect of these designs who's created. Nagaraj, over to you.
This is with respect to 59?
No, 185.
Yeah, so again, 185 is a product, which can be applicated in multiple areas. The first one, like I mentioned, for tractors and, like a 10x2 trippers. This essentially, reduces the overall cost of ownership for the customer without compromising on durability or performance. And in fact, for probably just an information for all of you that this is one of the most, I would say, popular kind of an axle in China. So essentially, we are bringing in this technology and then also manufacturing capability and capacity. And we believe that as the infrastructure is improving, and more you know, tractor trailer application is going to happen, I think we'll be in a very good position to, you know, realize on those increased market shares.
Okay, thank you for the explanation, sir. So my second question is, defense could also be another growth opportunity for us. I think we already have products in place, but there is the order from the government in terms of armored vehicles and all is taking more time. Any progress there or anything you have heard from your OEM customers regarding progress in the defense side?
For sure, the government has started, I think, thanks. I think if you go back to the initiatives of Make in India or buying more from the defense, a good amount of progress is happening as a country. I think more and more of product is being sold in India, and we are not the beneficiary because of this. I think while we are not giving the split between the defense and all, we are growing in this segment, and we supply to the major OEMs. For the defense, even though we don't supply directly, other than VFG factory, which they were making vehicles, we were supplying axles, but rest of the things we are supplying to their OEMs.
So while you can't share the numbers, will defense be less than 5-10% of your total revenues? Would this be a fair understanding?
Wow, I think that's a nice way of asking. When we know that we are a tier of about 2,300 and we don't share the numbers, you're asking 5-10%. I leave it to the guessing at this point of time, and sorry about it that we are not in a position to disclose those numbers.
So basically, why we are getting to it is, or why I am getting to it is, basically just to understand what could be the quantum jump or what could be the delta which could come from defense. Will it be a small delta leading to few percentage point growth? Let's say if industry grows at X percent, you will grow at X plus 2, X plus 5. Or if industry grows at X percent, you can grow at X plus 10%, X plus 15%, if some of these things, exports, defense, and all starts materializing over the next 2-3 years.
I know the intentions, and I'm sincerely apologize for not able to give it to you, but one assurance I can give is whatever the way industry grows, I think we'll be better than the industry growth. That's what I can tell you at this point of time. I'm sure that we will try to see at what time we'll be able to share this information and in the future. Sorry about it.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much. I think we have another 4 minutes, so let's move on.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 per participant. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Aditya Vilekar from Access Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir, just to understand, if we remove the cyclicality of both the top line and cost side, so from the top line, we are cyclically dependent on the MSP cycle, and on the cost front, we have our commodities, steel prices and all. So if you remove these, then what will be your internal EBITDA margin target long-term, which you have in your mind?
Sir, we are a customer-focused company, and our focus is more on how to penetrate into more and more customers. And but if we see internally a target, every 2-5 years when we are working out a strategy, we try to grow in terms of EBITDA. The EBITDA margin is not only for making for us, but we wanted to work very closely with the customers and making sure that the customers who work for us find our product, the total cost of operations is much, much better than competition. That is why you see that we are continuously growing, sustainable growth that what we are bringing in. One or two, for example, like what Nagar said, the product 185 can bring wonders in the market, what we brought in. We could have made another couple of points of profit in that, but what the trust what we created with the OEM, that we are providing a solution to them which will make them to penetrate into this. And that's why more and more OEMs are continue to stay with us, who have been working with us. While we have an aspiration to expand the margin, and we will continue to grow on this, internal aspiration is much, much higher, and I think, you know, both the companies, Mr. Kalyani and Cummins, both of them are a technology product, and both of them have a huge aspiration to grow. Ladies and gentlemen, trust me that they put the same pressure on us also to expand the margins and at the same time growth. We will never compromise on growth for the profitability or profitability for the growth. We'll continue to work and expand, but the internal target at this point in time, I'm not in a position to share with you.
Okay, fair enough. One specific question on this Q4 numbers. If you see our revenue has grown by 6% sequentially, but EBITDA grew stood almost flat QoQ. One reason is the raw material, but the other expense component is also increasing. Which I think is in our control. Why the increase in the other expenses happening? Any measures you will take to contain it?
Ranga, would you like to answer on the other expenses?
Yeah. See, we said the initial of the meeting, there are two aspects only, the commodity for sure. Also, we have agreed some extended warranty with the customers. We have provided one time this quarter to make sure that align with the customer expectations. These are only two reasons, the overall basis. Other than that, the financials don't have any dilution as far as the numbers are concerned.
Okay. One last question. Any CapEx guidance for FY 2024?
See, by and large, you know, largely the capacity is in place. We may not be doing a substantial investment on the capacity side. Definitely the, you know, the sustainable CapEx will definitely be there to meet the operational excellence in the Industry 4.0 and digitization. As Muthu and team is working on various new businesses, as the businesses mature, and it comes to operations, definitely there will be need for investment that will be decided then and there based on the business case. At this moment of time, the guidance will be, it may not be, you know, substantial capital investment will happen in 2023, 2024. It will be a sustainable to just to ensure the operating efficiency and operating performance perspective, mostly on Industry 4.0. Any new CapEx required based on the business requirement and new businesses that will be evaluated then and there.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Amit Hiranandani from SMIFS Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and many congratulations to the team for the wonderful performance for the financial year. Sir, my first question is basically, the guidance which you provided for the 5%-8% for the CV industry, in FY 2024. Is this on the conservative side you are giving? Secondly, on the margin side, sir, how much benefit on margin is expected, due to shifting the power cost to renewable energy? Continuing with the margin, what other steps the company is taking, to improve margins further in the next two years, assuming stable commodity prices?
Thank you very much for the appreciation for your. We are migrating to renewable energy for sustainability. To be more frank with you, in India, yes, you are right. It is adding to the sustainability of society and at the same time the cost to the organization. Our team of Ranga, the company secretary, they have done an extensive, and Nagaraj team has done an extensive negotiation, and ladies and gentlemen, believe that we got one of the best price from them. It's definitely adding up to our containing our conversion cost because it's a huge increase in the petroleum prices, huge increase in the carbides and all. We will continue to work to control the cost, but obviously we will not be.
Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has got disconnected. Please stay connected while we rejoin. We have the line for the management reconnected. Please go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. I got dropped. I was telling that the getting into the sustainable mode of renewable power is definitely going to save, and you know what is the market cost and how we are doing. Definitely, we are better than the market in terms of the saving. In terms of the volume for the next year, yes, we are doing only conservative number of 5%-10%. I believe the way in which we started with April, the market is definitely going to be good. There are a lot of uncertainties that is coming in this with an real-time emission system that's coming in, and OEM wanted to be very, very conservative. You know, our business is purely depend on that M&HCV, so we are want to be conservative. We have a very ambitious growth plan, and we will definitely outgrow the market. If the market is going to go up, Nagaraj and team are ready to deliver, and then they will utilize the opportunity. We are presenting only a conservative number. Very, very conservative, I would say.
Okay, sir, but this time, do you think the CV cycle is going to be a very longish one this time?
Sir, look at what happens is, right from FY18, the CVs have dropped. It is not like a normal time where it is dropped and going up, right? From FY18, we had an ILFS issue, the issues for the people for getting the loans. Then we had an axle load rating change, followed by the BS6 implementation. And after that, when the COVID came and that market dropped, and after COVID and all, when the market is trying to come back, the second wave came. It took a little longest time for getting back into the market, if you see, when compared to what it was earlier and this time. And with the amount of freight growth that's happening and the amount of infrastructure development that has happened in the road, the existing truck utilization also has substantially gone up with the amount of good roads. So all these things are putting together on the truck requirement. It's not the truck requirements are going up. This is a dynamic industry, and depending on the freight, the industry will grow. But I believe that this is because of various improvements that happened in the infrastructure, various improvement that's happening in axle load rating. The actual tonnage movement is going very good and the market is strong. The amount of infrastructure spent in the government and the aspirations is very, very high, which means that the commercial vehicle segment is going to go up. You all know that commercial vehicle segment growth is purely depends on the GDP growth, and we are in the first to react to that. So I strongly believe that the various initiatives there, and it is going to stay for a little time because the market has been very, very slowly absorbing various shocks, and it is sustainable. Still, we are not seeing the rentals are very strong still. That is one of the lead indicators for us on the commercial vehicle segment. With the rentals being strong, with the diesel price reasonably stable for last one almost 11 months, and I strongly believe that yes, there is a good demand, and we are keeping growing. And the infrastructure spending has happened, which is mainly predominantly that tipper segment. Strongly believe that the market is going to be stronger. Of course, we don't want to get into the next year elections and what is going to happen after that and all, because that's something. But it, and also a lot of global supplies is coming to India. So I believe that market is going to be stronger for this, some more time.
Sir, one last question, if I can squeeze in. Sir, can you please help me with the, you know, the market share in the XL segment and the average realization?
Well, I know that your last question, but the last question is the one which we will not be able to share. And thank you very much. I think, Mr. Shailesh, we are already 110. I know the participants. I'm very sorry, sir. We are not able to provide that information.
Yeah, yeah, it's close enough.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, BNK team, for organizing this. Thank you all the investors for the confidence that you have posed on this company. And your confidence is making us to feel supportive. I think the amount of trust that you are keeping on the company is making us to be very, very confident in terms of committing and aggressive targets, and at the same time keep moving forward. We really appreciate and value your commitment, interest in this organization. And as a management team, we'll always stand together to meet up all your expectations of the stakeholders, be it the customer, shareholders, society, and whatnot. The company will, with the strong leadership team from both Cummins globally and also with from Kalyani, and you can rest assured that the company will continue to perform and try to exceed the expectations what you're giving. Once again, thanks Nagaraj, Ranga and Shailesh for supporting in this event. And thank you all investors for taking time to join with us. Really appreciate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.